we are finally liberated, that we are free. Because now we have no electricity in the city, no water, no central supply heating, no mobile connection, no internet connection. But we have no Russians. And I'm extremely happy of that. We can survive anything, but we are free.
Says one of the Kherson residents. As you may hear, freedom is back in the city, so is the hope of people who have just been liberated from the Russian terror. Ukrainians, Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. Today's episode is dedicated to the bravery and resistance of people of Kherson, who survived 8 months Russian occupation. Take a deep breath and dive into this overwhelming story with us. These are emotions we hear as Ukrainian soldiers arrive at the main square of Kherson in south of Ukraine on November 11, when the city was finally liberated from Russians. The people are all chanting ZSU, ZSU, an abbreviation for the Ukrainian Armed Forces. Kherson is pleasantly quiet and warm city on the delta of the Dnipro River, famous for blossoming fields of tomatoes and watermelons. Its residents were deprived of the freedom since the beginning of March. At this very time, people held back tanks with their bare hands, sang their national anthem, called on the Russian troops to return home, and shouted that Kherson is Ukraine.
Kherson – це Україна! Kherson – це Україна! Kherson – це Україна!
On the second day of the full-scale invasion, a woman from the Kherson region told the occupiers the legendary phrase.
Take the seeds and put them in your pockets so at least sunflowers grow when you all lie down here.
Why Kherson was so important to Russia? It's the only regional center that Russia captured, and holding it allowed Russian troops to slow down the ongoing Ukrainian counter-offensive. Besides, the Kherson is a gateway to Crimea. It's a source of water the occupiers might easily transport toward Crimea or get some replenishment from there just by crossing the bridge. Also, given Kherson is occupied, there is a prospect to conquer the entire Kherson region and go further to Mykolaiv and Odessa, two major southern Ukraine cities. With the capture of Kherson Regional State Administration on the 3rd of March, the Russian occupation was in. On March 5 and 13, about 10,000 people from Kherson attended pro-Ukrainian rallies. They lasted until mid-April and were crushed by the Russian military with tear gas, stun grenades, fighting, and even live rounds. Afterwards, Russians started setting up a local occupation administration. A former pro-Russian governor of Kherson, Vladimir Saldo, became a Moscow-installed head of the Kherson region. But it was still the Russian military who really stayed in charge. Soldiers from various subdivisions of the Russian army roamed the streets, often looting stores, hotels, and robbing people. But the terror was not limited to the looting alone. A local resident of Kherson, a young designer, recounted his experience of the 8 months occupation to a journalist of our team.
Living under occupation was like becoming a pensioner all of a sudden. You spend your days exclusively at home, reading books and watching movies online if there is any internet. One only goes outside to buy food or maybe to walk around the block. The fear of the occupiers was real. Especially for people like me, who previously were connected to the local volunteer community of the city. The Russians would just arrest people on the streets, so I had to act to keep myself in safety. I specifically only went to a small grocery store where I knew that the woman at the counter was pro-Ukrainian. she probably wouldn't report on me. Also, I took care to keep an old backup phone with a second Google account where my email, search history and YouTube history were neutral. The months of occupation stayed in my recollection as gray and scary.
The more occupation settled in, the more Ukrainian rage accelerated. A powerful guerrilla force developed in Kherson. Different Ukrainian underground organizations resisted the occupiers in various ways. They threatened collaborators with the posters wanted, reported on Russian position and even killed Russian soldiers, just as the most important targets, collaborators. We will talk about them a bit later. One of the resistance fighters is Archie. He can tell you.
Adrenaline played its role. I didn't have any fear or time to think. For the first few days, I felt very bad, but then I realized that they were my enemies. They came to my home to take it from me.
So was the deoccupation of Kherson a gesture of goodwill, as Russian Minister of Defense Shoigu said? Let's trace the deoccupation of Kherson. Once the initial assault of Russia on Ukraine got stopped in April, and the Russian forces retreated from the Kyiv region, the war moved into the new phase, a war of attrition. For the whole summer, the front line barely moved, and the Ukrainian army lacked ammunition. But in the middle of July, President Zelensky has ordered the Ukrainian military to regain control over coastal regions in the south of Ukraine. In the beginning of August, we have already witnessed some major advances when the first new high-precision weapon like HIMARS, Excalibur and other arrived from Western partners. On August 8, Ukrainian armed forces hit Antonivsky and Kakhovsky bridges. The thing is, Antonivsky bridge is a strategically vital area connecting Kherson with the rest of Russian-occupied Ukraine's territories, including Crimea. So since the major blast near ruined the bridge, Russians began to experience shortages of food, medicine, equipment, and military personnel, as the logistics were crushed. As General Pershing, the commander of American forces in World War I, said, "Infantry wins battles, logistics win wars." According to the British intelligence, the control of the crossing was a key factor in the battles to re-establish control in Kherson region. As of August 29, Ukrainian armed forces solemnly announced they have destroyed almost all strategic bridges.
Only pedestrian crossings reportedly remain intact for now. Thus, Russian forces have been cut off from supplies of weapons and reinforcements from Crimea,
stated the Kakhovka task force. Simultaneously, some occasional reports of murder targeting occupiers and collaborators emerged. Pro-Russian blogger Valery Kulishov and Pavlo Sharogradsky, who gave the occupiers data about members of the joint force operation, were shot. Also, due to the handiwork of Ukrainian resistance fighters, two occupational police members were killed too. And then, the significant pro-Russian figure, Kirill Stremousov, died in a car crash on November 9. This very day, the commander of the Russian forces, General Surovikin, announced the retreat.
Having comprehensively assessed the situation, I propose that we take up defensive positions along the left bank of the Dnieper River.
Before withdrawing, Russian troops attempted to impede the advance of Ukrainian armed forces. As Ukrainian appointed official in the Kherson region, Serhii Khlan, said,
"While fleeing, they were trying to blow up everything. Everything that could deter Ukrainian advance."
But it was a sign Ukrainians' troops were approaching the city. On 10th of November, Zelensky announced that multiple Ukrainian flags were returning to their rightful place, adding 41,000 settlements were liberated. That very day, the Ukrainian army liberated Snyhurivka, a village 20 miles from Kherson. And the following day, Ukraine has heard.
Kherson returns to the control of Ukraine. Units of the armed forces enter the city. The retreat routes of the Russian occupiers are under fire control of the Ukrainian army. Any attempts to oppose the armed forces of Ukraine will be stopped. Every Russian serviceman who resists will be destroyed.
Stated Zagur, the military intelligence service of Ukraine. On November 11, Kherson became free from the Russian invaders. Before Russia's invasion, there were nearly 250,000 people in Kherson. Now the number shrank from 30 to 60,000. After the Russian retreat, residents of the city were left without electricity, communication, internet. Almost everything in the city was mined, as mentioned by the head of Kherson Regional Military Administration. The local building of the Security Service of Ukraine is mined to the extent it's dangerous to demine it, so it's likely that the building might be blown up. But at the same time, normal life began to return. Electricity is to be restored, just as the communication lines. Banks and post offices are working. Medical facilities and other institutions are returning to work. And most importantly, freedom is here. With the liberation of Kherson and its return to Ukraine, smiles, life, and the right to freedom, security, and free movement began coming back.
When there is a Ukrainian flag, there is civilization, there is freedom, there is social security, there is infrastructure, there is security, there is someone to take care of people. There are all the things that disappear and that are destroyed when the occupier comes.
Noted Volodymyr Zelensky. Lyubov, a 17-year-old drama student, was asked what she missed most under occupation. And she said freedom, almost shouting.
The Russians granted me a nightmarish gap year, but it's all over now and I'm looking ahead to the future.
Sofia Chastilo, a resident of Kherson, said. Besides, the liberation of Kherson shows that Ukrainians will do everything to protect their people and defend their land. And international figures are also speaking about it. Mrs. Ambassador of Germany to Ukraine, Anka Feldhusen, said.
Another most awaited victory of the armed forces of Ukraine is the liberation of Kherson. I hope to spend my vacation in the summer of 2023 in the Kherson region. The world respects those who courageously defend and liberate their native land, the eternal memory of the fallen.
Kherson is an important win in many ways. According to the representative of Royal United Service Institute, the Kherson advance opens a prospect for Ukrainian forces to reach some targets in Crimea with all the weapons Ukraine now owns, and prepare a larger offensive towards the Russian-occupied territories. But it also opens up a window of opportunity for occupiers as they can continue shelling Kherson from other areas. That's what's happening now. As of November 28, Russians shelled the Kherson region 258 times in a week. But the people who survived 8 months Russian terror will overcome it. With the indomitable spirit of Ukrainians, they'll go through it. And Russian mark will be nothing but just a grim memory from the past. Slava Ukraini!